Hello.
Hello.
Everyone, Ollie here.
Ben here.
And we're here today to talk to you about the latest Star Wars release.
Story.
Rogue One. What was your opinion?
I was so bored.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting much.
What a controversial opinion.
No, most people know it was shit. Give it a bit of time and other people will catch up.
Do you think so?
Yeah, it's terrible. So shit.
Why did you think it was so bad?
Well, I was bored, literally, from start to finish.
Really?
Because, because I knew the film wasn't about Hannibal guy.
Hmm.
What's his name? Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen. Michael Madsen.
I knew the film wasn't about him.
Mm.
But he was alright. He was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got terrible. It just was boring. I didn't care about the little girl. When she grew up, I didn't care. I didn't care about Forrest Whitaker.
Mm.
Forrest Whitaker seemed to not have a clue what he was doing.
Right.
Oh, and the worst... this is what I was bored. I've remembered. Because in the first half an hour, it was like a minute and a half scene. Then to a completely different planet, minute and a half. Another planet, minute and a half.
Mm.
And you're just like, what the fuck? And it's what I was saying on the last podcast about just showing people who these people are, but not really why you should care.
Yeah. I can't remember any scenes. It felt like there weren't really scenes, like proper scenes.
Well, to introduce the Spanish guy.
And by scene, I mean something more than just like
two
people talking in a place.
Yeah. But no, there wasn't.
I mean, I might be wrong. The problem I have is that I now have a long history, and I'm sort of known for it among some of my friends, for going to the... Don't worry, it's just children dying outside.
Just a woman's scream.
No, I have a long history of going to the cinema and not enjoying the film, and everyone else really enjoying it. And then later on, when it comes out on DVD, and I can just relax at home and watch it on my TV, I realise it was great.
Yeah.
And so now when I say something was bad to my friends afterwards, they just don't listen to me anymore.
Right.
And I do... it's possible that when I see it again, and I see it later at home in DVD, I'll see all these things that are great about it.
But when I was... It sounds like you watch things, and then you hate them, and then you watch them again thinking, oh, God, I hated this. I thought it was the worst film ever. So, of course, you're going to go, oh, it wasn't that. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Mm.
But it's still a bad, terrible film.
But even the films that I do like in the cinema, I enjoy more at home. And even The Force Awakens, which I did enjoy in the cinema, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which I did, which I really enjoyed. Those are two of the very, very few blockbuster movies that I've really liked when I was in the cinema. I liked them so much more later on when I watched them at home. So it's possible that Rogue One is going to be great, but when I was in the cinema, I was exactly the same as you. I was bored out of my fucking mind.
I wanted to leave. It was only because I was with other people.
I mean, even the prequels, I would have.
Yeah.
It didn't make me feel this kind of malaise of just. It was sort of.
Come on, make it over, please.
Kind of lumpen sort of. Part of the problem, I think, and this is why maybe when I watch it again, knowing what it is, I'll appreciate it more, is that the trailers advertised so many things that just weren't in the film. Because of reshoots and...
What things? I know they did, but...
There were tons of shots. I remember with the first trailer, for example, introducing the bad guy. All you saw of the bad guy, whatever he is, Commander Stryken, Straffen, whatever he's called, the guy, the Australian...
Yeah, I didn't mind him.
...actor playing the commander in charge of the Death Star. In the trailer, there was only like a couple of seconds. It was just a little shot of him looking really fucking sinister. And I thought, oh, we're in for a treat. It's not going to be like a Darth Vader type.
Right.
It's just going to be this sinister, creepy kind of commander guy that's got all this power because of who he commands, and maybe he's gone a bit crazy with power and stuff. And in the film, he just kind of came across as like a little bit of a brat. Like he was sort of... I liked the actor. I liked his performance, but... The way it was written, maybe, and what he was given to do, which didn't make much of an impact with me.
I thought he was a good actor, and he was the one I liked the most. He was the one I was interested in, even slightly. Because I was like, okay, he wants to go up the ladder of the Empire. He wants to make himself known. General Tarkin's like, I'm going to take the credit.
Yeah.
At least that's something.
Yeah,
that's something I can grab hold of and go... Okay.
That's like a three... Yeah, I see what you mean.
But even the girl, Jyn Arsal, she was like, Jin asked, what is it?
You're doing that on purpose. It's Jin also, isn't it?
No, I don't. I call her, I've said Jin arsehole. But Jin, I don't know what it is. Jin arsehole.
Jin Ursa?
Jin Ursa.
Urso.
She's just so bland. And she's not, and it just made me go, oh, Daisy Ridley was all right, actually.
She was great.
Great. I really liked Daisy.
She's really, really good. Yeah, I mean, I also agreed. I thought in the trailer, again, it was like you're going to get to know this sort of slight different female hero. She's going to be, like, rebellious, and she's going to have this kind of interesting rebellious streak.
She said rebellion and rebel.
But so. That wasn't in the film. This is the rebellion, isn't it? I rebel. Wasn't in the film. It was in the trailer. And none of this stuff that they set up in the trailer was there. There's a great line in the trailer from Forrest Whitaker where he says, if you continue to fight, what will you become? And that was like, oh, so it's going to be about kind of maybe they flirt with the violence kind of turning them bad, or what does the fight do to these characters, and maybe they start off innocently enough and the rebellion is just this kind of slightly charming thing, but then as it escalates and they're taking on more and more of these soldiers and it becomes more like war, they're kind of tarnished and become slightly different. But it's just basically no characterization in it. It just seemed like there were people kind of coming in and joining the cast. Like the Jedi guy and the guy that has all of the guns, it just seemed like they kind of turned up and then just tagged along. I may have missed it, but it seemed like there wasn't really any reason why they were there. They were just in the same place, they got into a fight, and then they were just there for the rest of the film. Didn't know why those two characters were there or who they were. It just seemed like we've met them now and now they're in the film.
And he did a cool thing.
Yeah. I mean, they did cool things. But also, interestingly, I don't know if you've watched this. There's a YouTube video called something like Why All the Marvel Movies Look Bad or something like that. And it's quite a basic premise of cinematography, but I'd never heard of it. And it's whether you can try it on a lot of films that look like crap or look a bit washed out or not very eye-popping. Try and identify the deepest black on the screen, the darkest point of the screen. Because a lot of the difference between these very washed-out looking, kind of slightly more, in inverted commas, realistic looking films and the ones that look really cinematic and really pop and everything, all the visuals look iconic and great. So often the difference is that on the screen there's no part, even the darkest bit, isn't actually black. It's slightly grey or it's slightly kind of... And I think, I might be wrong, but it seemed like this was the first Star Wars film that was shot where really none of the visuals popped.
No.
None of the visuals were very kind of iconic. I mean, like, with the prequels, the problem was that it was just CGI shit constantly and horrible. Here I would say that the problem was that the colour palette was
dull.
You could still have had everything pop and have it in grey and brown and military uniform and all that stuff.
They wanted to be like Saving Private Ryan with Star Wars.
Yeah, but it's Star Wars, which is, everything's meant to look great. Everything is meant to really look kind of iconic and cool.
I know, but if they had the story there...
It seems to be fundamentally against what Star Wars is to shoot it that way.
Yeah, but
and when I started
to
notice, I started to think, I can't believe it.
No, but I don't mind that, because it's not a Star Wars film, really. It's like an off... set. It's like, I get that.
And isn't it though? They've told exactly the same story.
No, but I mean,
it's a little girl.
That's what I mean.
She's on a planet. She's deserted. Doesn't know who her parents are. Her dad is somewhere, and like, oh god, you've got to go and flirt with the dark side or the evil empire to get him back, and all this shit. It's exactly the same story.
Yeah, that's what I mean. If the story matched the look of it, it would have been fine. If it was like, if they were going for that kind of mood, they needed to make the story like that.
Right.
And it fit together, but yeah, you're right, it was just a Star Wars film, looked dull. And I just, there was a bit in Jim Erso's speech, and I physically laughed out loud, because the guy that's like goes, he's like, I must be an overdub or something, it's just like, well, what about that? And it's like, I can't remember what he says, but it's something like, let her speak!
Right.
And it was like, Jesus fucking Christ. It was just at the point in the film where I was just like, I could not give two flying shits about any single one of these. And then they lined up to die. Mm. It was like, I'm going to walk out and die now. And it was like, I don't care. And then the guy at the end who dies, and then he doesn't, and he's back. And I was like...
Who?
You know the Spanish guy?
Right.
He died. Mm-hmm. He, like, fell down and he thought he was dead.
Oh, right.
And then he's like, he's not dead. And you're like, don't care.
But then he is dead again.
Oh, then he is dead, yeah. But they suddenly pull that romance out of its arse. Out of its arso. And suddenly, yeah, they're in love. And it's like, where the fuck did that come from?
That took me by surprise as well. And I couldn't quite believe that they ended the sort of big villain showdown with the guy you thought was dead comes back and shoots him in the back and he's dead. And it's like, what? It's terrible.
What did you think of CGI Grand Moff Tarkin?
Well, I think that they have got the technology down, except when they open their mouths and then they look like shit. And that was possibly the biggest problem, or the biggest kind of sin of the film, I thought, was to end the whole thing on a very stodgy-looking Princess Leia. Because it was looking great. I thought if they just cut before she opens her mouth and smiles, they just maybe would have gotten away with it. But then they had to have her beam with this big smile, and it looked like... Oh, you can see all the edges. It suddenly looks clunky as all shit.
Why not just cut on that shit? Why not just cut on that ship and you're like, okay, I got that. You know then, why do you have to have... This is literally the moment before. Why? We don't need... Like, who cares?
Well, the fans, I suppose.
And they made the battle way more epic and way more crazy than the battle to get the to blow up the Death Star.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're doing this plan to get the Death Star plans, but it's harder to get the Death Star plans than to actually blow up the Death Star.
Well, that was the other thing that the trailers seemed to suggest, was it was going to be a little bit like a spy sort of thing, like behind enemy lines. And there was a bit in Forrest Whitaker's speech as well where he was like, what will you do if they catch you? And it's like, what will you do if they find you? It's like, like they're going to be sort of hiding in plain sight they're going to be sort of... And then maybe that's where the what will you become line comes in. Like they have to be undercover and then they start getting involved and moral questions come out. And it seemed... But instead it was like, let's have a big old war.
Look at the 80s.
Yeah.
Look at them.
The thing is that they've got Gareth Edwards, and what Gareth Edwards does
is
big spectacles with not very much money and no characters.
Well, that's what he did.
Yeah.
So, well done.
I mean, he did marginally better than like Godzilla had, like no
I
characters whatsoever.
Every single one of the prequels to that.
Really?
Yeah. Rogue One.
Mm.
Like, there's bits in the prequels that I love, that I really like. Like certain bits.
Like what?
The lightsaber duel at the end of Episode One. I think that's great. I like the pod race. Just little bits like that. I think they're cool.
Bits of spectacle.
Yeah.
But this.
I like the end of Episode 3. I like, apart from the fight goes on too long. But
I don't know
good.
If they're even pretending that this is for kids anymore as well.
No.
I felt like kids would be quite bored by it. It's got lots of sort of trying to be adult themes.
Yeah.
Whereas the last Star Wars, The Force Awakens, was full of joy and full of kind of upbeat energy, and this one, I get what they were trying to do, maybe a slightly more adult world, but they didn't go fully into that gritty adult world. Mm. Instead, kind of had half a foot here, half a foot another. Just became I just thought it was bad. But my friend, who we like a lot of the same stuff, really had a good time. So I'm holding out hope that maybe I'll change my mind. But it was one of those weird things where I came out of the cinema and then I started reading the reviews and it was all positive.
It's because you can't trust anything now.
It seems like the world has decided, no, Star Wars is good now.
Yeah, it's great now.
And it would be so disappointing for the one after The Force Awakens to be a big pile of poo.
But my friend didn't like Force Awakens.
So it's almost like
his family turned
will themselves. They use the Force to the films.
The Force is well with me.
Mm-hmm. What else is there to say?
Well, the robot was hilarious, wasn't he?
Again, it's like you've got to have a robot, and the robot has all the best lines, and then
why not do a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and make the robot miserable? If you're going to make a miserable film, just have the robot being like, everything's shit, he's woken up from, he's gained consciousness, and now he's like, oh god, it's all shit.
But then at the end, when he was sacrificing himself, I thought, if I cared about this character, this would be a great scene. but I don't. So it's just some stuff happening.
Yeah, in Independence Day 2, there was a bit with Will Smith's wife from the first film, and she's on top of a building.
Couldn't get Will Smith.
And Will Smith's son, but it works.
They
it
could
works.
Get they could get him for After Earth. But you don't not need for Will Smith.
You
Day
do not
too.
Need Will Smith. His son is just it's great, and he's flying around trying to save his mum, the woman from the first film. Building collapses and she falls, and it was got me.
Wow. I reckon Will Smith.
And there was nothing in Rogue One. I was just like, I'm bored, shitless. I can't wait for them all to die. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like when you're watching a bad episode of The Walking Dead.
Right.
When you're just like, I could not give a fuck.
Terra and Heath.
Yeah.
Mm. I think the
reason. Since seeing Terra on the internet, she's very attractive.
Oh.
So, you know, there's. No.
I think the reason why Will Smith hasn't done Independence Day 2...
They won't pay him enough money, I'm sure.
No, I think it's because he was in After Earth, and the take-home message he got from that was, they don't want me to be in space anymore.
Right.
So I better not do any, like, space stuff.
Right.
Because After Earth, like, that was what the problem was. It wasn't that it was Shyamalan and based on, like, a Scientology book.
Well, I'm glad he wasn't in Independence Day 2, because it gave the guy who plays Data more of a chance to shine, because they had to make more of, like, the older characters.
Right, right, right.
And he's great. Really good.
One thing about the lead character of Rogue One that I thought is... It is kind of that we're getting to a point of equality now, I reckon. Not across the board, but with some of these characters. Oh. Not in terms of the numbers of characters, but in terms of the evolution of these sorts of iconic female heroes. Mm. Because now they've reached the stage where they can be just as boring and cardboard cutout and copy and paste as all the kind of macho Hollywood kind of action stars that have become very kind of tropey and boring and repetitive. And because, you know, what do? You just kind of make her, like, scowl through the whole thing, and you kind of refer to this troubled backstory that we see nothing of, and she's kind of tough and doesn't really, like, joke around. Yeah. And
well, they just had the whole bit of...
And she's just as strong as, you know, anyone, you know, they might doubt her, but she's just great at everything.
But it starts off, in Rogue One, it starts off with her and her parents, and immediately they're being separated. So you haven't seen any of... You haven't got to know them as a family. And then they're separated, so that means something. So immediately, her being separated from the parents doesn't matter at all. You couldn't care less because you don't know who they are. And then she grows up and she's got a vendetta, and it's all based on the fact she was torn from her parents, which you don't care about anyway.
No, and you don't get to see any of her growing up.
No.
And you don't see any of her relationship with Forest Whitaker's character, so you don't really
don't care
about
at
it
all,
or even feel anything when he's gone. And there was that, what the fuck was about that scene where the pilot, played by Riz Ahmed, who I bloody love, is great. Probably the best thing about
him. He really
actually.
Was.
Riz
yeah.
Ahmed is great.
Yeah.
Great
couple,
in lots of
A couple
of
points there.
but there's a scene where he's sat down and then this monster comes in and, like, sucks his brains.
Yeah.
And then he's disoriented and, like, talking gibberish. And you think, oh, okay, that's the plot point. They've got to try and get this information out of this guy that's half kind of frazzled, and it's going to be frustrating, and they have to sort of work it out. No.
Back to normal.
No, he's just back to normal. The next couple. What was the point?
What was the point in that
earth?
Weird? And also, why did you have...
Of all the things that must have been cut out of the film.
Yeah, that.
Why did it matter?
Why didn't
it?
They have, like, a droid with, like, a syringe? Like how Darth Vader interrogates Princess Leia. It's the perfect time to use that. Instead, they put out this weird fucking monster that you've never seen before.
And then Forest Whitaker did this sort of weird, bizarre, kind of hammy performance.
But that was reshoots because they changed his hair.
No, that is true, yeah.
It's just mad. Yeah, no, I didn't like it. The biggest thing we haven't talked about is Darth Vader.
Oh, my God. He does puns now. But not very good
does
puns.
Does he?
Not very good puns, more like one-liners.
What did he say?
Well, as he's walking away, he decides, I'm Darth Vader. I'm going to have to choke someone. Which, again, I didn't... When I first watched Star Wars, I didn't think that that was just a thing he did all the time.
I thought he got joy from hurting people.
Yeah, and I thought that's one way he can do stuff. It's alluding to his power.
No, he does it quite a bit.
But I don't know, the first time, maybe even within the first trilogy, they slightly ruined it. But when I first saw that scene, I thought, that's just one of the ways he can get you. It's not like a thing he likes to do. It's like one of his main hobbies.
He does it quite a bit.
Well, anyway, he thinks, I'm Darth Vader. I've got to choke some bitch, because otherwise, how are they going to know I'm Darth Vader? So, chokes him a bit, and then he says something like, don't choke on your ambition, or something.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he does one. He does like
very much like
funny,
an old, frail black man. He sounded like Darth Vader.
Oh, you thought he sounded different.
And he looked different. And the thing with Darth Vader is, he was an iconic image. But he's not. He's everywhere now. Everywhere it says Star Wars, it's Darth Vader's face. Everywhere you look, Darth Vader versus aliens. Darth Vader versus it's just Darth Vader, Vader everywhere. So when he turned up, it wasn't like, oh, there's Han Solo, we haven't seen him in years. And it's like, no, things just get boring. Like, that. When the Han Solo turns up on the Millennium Falcon, and he's like, Chewie, we're home. I got really emotional when I watched it in the trailer.
Because
I was like, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. And then it just goes down and down and down and down and down. So if you just see something over and over again, it's not. That's why I love Kylo Ren so much.
Yeah. So it's really kind of feels pretty new and haven't seen this before and very compelling. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the...
Apparently, he's not alive in the next one.
What?
Well...
What are you talking about?
Adam Driver has said... Someone said, is he alive in episode 8? Because obviously he's on the planet that's blowing up. And he says, well, it depends on your definition of alive.
Oh. Okay. He's in a suit now. He's fully Darth Vader'd up. He's in a suit... And it's just the same as Darth Vader again. And he's all mechanical.
I don't know. Could be quite good.
Could it?
Yeah.
Just Darth Vader again?
Yeah, but it wouldn't be Darth Vader. It's Kylo Ren as Darth Vader, who's always fighting against the good. It's quite cool. Could be quite cool.
I don't know. I quite like the fact that when he took his helmet off, there was nothing wrong with him. He was just, I wear this helmet.
Yeah, now they're going to make something wrong with him.
Well, that's a shame. But maybe it'll be good. I don't know. I'm not trying to be down on Star Wars.
I'm really looking forward to episode
8. Looking forward to the next one. Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. Although, I'm slightly worried about it being Rian Johnson, I have to say. I don't know. I just don't... The Looper guy. I don't... This is something that they're doing a bit with. I like the fact that all these different types of directors are going to get to do a Star Wars. And you get to see all these different types.
Yeah, but
they get... All these different types. But J.J. Abrams makes perfect sense. Rian Johnson does these kind of weird, quirky, low-budget affairs. It's not like I've not liked... But James Gunn dealt in kind of blockbustery type pastiche before. He was doing the kind of... I don't know, what's it called? Troma films and stuff like that. Which is a very kind of tongue-in-cheek and low-budget, but kind of doing all these effects and stuff. So you can kind of see how that might translate with a good budget into a nice, quirky action film. But I wasn't jonesing at the bit to see the Godzilla guy do a Star Wars. I'm not jonesing at the bit to see Rian Johnson, the Looper guy, do a Star Wars. I don't know if these directors necessarily make sense for... what Star Wars is.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly they do. They're making tons of fucking money and everyone loves them. So clearly they do. They have made sense. It's been great success.
People love it anyway.
But, I'm sorry.
But JJ's still in charge.
And isn't the Jurassic
whole...
World guy doing the third one?
I don't think so anymore.
Colin Trevorrow.
But JJ Abrams is still overseeing the story. So I think it'll be all right.
Okay. And in the second one, as we all know, the second of the Star Wars trilogies is always the sort of dark one.
The dark before the dawn. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going to some dark places this time round. The dark undercurrent, perhaps, of Rey.
I think her backstory. Turn to the dark side. Perhaps.
I do hope so.
What is going on, guys? So you can see Rey here holds a red lightsaber.
I mean, we all know what that means.
And if you slow it down, and if you go free, my friend, you can see maybe a little flicker of red in the eyes there. I think that's a little hint there, a little Easter egg. Oh, God. Oh, dear. Well, that was Rogue One. I thought it was poo. How many AT-ATs out of 10 would you give it?
Right now, pending a second viewing, because if my film studies course taught me anything, which it didn't,
right,
it taught me that you should always watch a film twice to get a full and comprehensive opinion on it.
Not watching a shit film twice, I can't.
I even watched Suicide Squad twice.
God. Yeah, and how did that turn out?
It was better the second time.
Was it?
It was better, and I have a more comprehensive view of how awful it is.
Okay. That's
important to me.
Yeah, okay.
If I want to give something a good go. Before, and I was very pleased that I watched Interstellar again, for example.
Yeah.
Because I hated it the first time, and then I quite liked it.
I love it until the third act.
But apart from the maybe love is the fourth dimension.
Everything else is great. It's like the best film. Oh, it's great. And then as soon as he gets in that bookcase, it all turns to shit.
Excited for Dunkirk?
I'm excited for the first two acts of Dunkirk.
While we're on the topic of Nolan's Westworld.
Colleen Nolan. On a breakup with guy with Shane Ritchie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hot news.
Hot news.
But also Westworld.
Westworld, yeah.
I finished it. Mm. And I came up with a little thing that I was quite proud of that I'm sure is stupid. But when I watched it and it got to the finale, I was fucking fuming after that finale, because I thought it was one of the worst finales I'd seen.
Yeah,
because it's just people telling you what's going on. It's just scene after scene after scene after scene of people saying, well, of course in the previous episodes this was going on the whole time, and I was planning this the whole time, and then actually this guy was over there and it was in two different time zones after all. So recontextualise everything you've seen from the last 9 hours with that interpretation in mind. It's, I don't know if I lack the complexity of thought to understand it, but even what I bet we basically watched the whole season twice now, except for the last two or three episodes, which is where we gave up the first time. And even knowing kind of what the twist was, even knowing that there was time discrepancy and that there was certain characters were robots and all that sort of stuff, even watching it again knowing that, I was finding it difficult to go really keep track of what's going on. And I think there's a difference. The difference I came up with for Westworld is it's a good example of something that's probably narratively coherent. Like, if you sat down, I trust that all the puzzle pieces fit together and it's a pretty nice kind of complicated thing, but it all kind of makes sense if you really go into it. But dramatically, I didn't find it at all coherent at all.
Why?
Because, for example, the entire series, you've been thinking increasingly that Ford is like this evil guy.
He's
the baddie.
Yeah.
And he's had all these speeches about what he believes. And then the last episode turns out he doesn't really believe any of those things. And he's actually kind of on the side of the robots the whole time.
Right.
And he's been working on this great master plan that's actually a tribute to Arnold and not against him. But there's so much of dense kind of puzzle piece type narrative to recontextualise after you know that.
Right.
And try and make sense of the scenes again dramatically, knowing that actually that's what he was. It's too much for my head to do.
Right.
I can't make dramatic sense of it.
I mean, just don't worry about it. I thought it was a bit, it was really forgettable. I was just a bit like, eh. I mean, it probably doesn't make sense.
No, I think it does. It's just, in terms of the drama, in terms of the thrust of the drama and how it was going, when it just felt like it just hit a brick wall in the finale.
Right.
And you're supposed to just kind of then go back and try and make sense of certain scenes with new information, but there's too much
to try and
go back and make sense of.
I see what you're saying,
There's too many bits to go, okay, so all right, so when he said that, he actually meant that, and then when she was going there, she was actually going there, and it's just...
Oh, right.
I just can't be bothered. It wasn't dramatically rewarding enough for me to do all that work.
No, I wouldn't bother.
Anyway, I think a lot of popular opinion slightly cooled to it. People were very excited at the beginning.
And then I was excited at the beginning. First episode, I was like, come on. And then, I think people just invest so much in stuff, and then when it's shit, they just can't admit it to themselves. They're just like, no, I really liked it.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if it even happened with The Force Awakens. this slight kind of, oh, it wasn't as good as all that, we got overexcited.
Yeah, I liked it though.
But I think Rogue One will have an even bigger...
Yeah.
What will we... Hang on. Come on. Even by the, our standards, when we whinge about the other Star Wars movies, this doesn't have dramatic coherence or characters that we care about or motivations that we really feel on screen.
Absolutely.
And they wasted Forrest Whitaker, which was, you know...
He was, he just
not since Taken 3 has Forrest Whitaker been wasted.
I haven't seen Taken 3. I haven't seen Taken 2.
Forrest Whitaker is in it. And you're just thinking, what are you doing, mate? No. You're better than this.
I think he just turned up for a day and went, what? What am I doing? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, off I go.
Can you do, can you do an insane accent?
And then... Oh, I don't know what I'm saying. I don't remember. I don't remember. That was Donald Trump's impression of that reporter.
What do you think of that? Do you think he was actually mocking his disability?
Well, the thing is, Ollie, I couldn't give a flying fuck.